Just a reminder to turn off electrical distracting devices at this time, cell phones, and anything else that might distract those around you. As we turn to Acts chapter 20, as we look at a message that I've entitled, Receiving Until It Hurts. And then there's two very interesting names listed in the bulletin under the title there that will be important during this morning's message. We're actually going to begin with Acts 20 and verse 22, beginning with verse 22. Paul is speaking of his ministry and his desire to come to Jerusalem to extend a gift to the church there in need. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and over all of the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave you, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I've never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus himself, who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. And they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. But what grieved them the most was his statement that they would never see his face again. And then they accompanied him to the ship. I offer you this morning a story. There were once two men who lived in a small town in the South who were as different as night and day. So different were they that their names even reflected the variance of their differences. Now, in this southern town, it was the custom to call people by the abbreviated version of their first and middle name. For instance, a person named William Robert Smith would be called Billy Bob Smith. And this custom held for these two men. The name of one man was Cecil Lester Giver. To the town folk, he was known as Ceaseless Giver. The other man's name was Haverford Benjamin Given, otherwise known as Have Been Given. Now these two men, ceaseless giver and have been given, had adjoining lots in a very comfortable middle class neighborhood. They were also members of the same church. But with these and with the spelling of their names, any similarities between these two starkly ended. Mr. Ceaseless Giver was known by everyone in the church and the town as a very giving person, generous to a painful fault. For each fall during the stewardship campaign, he was the one that would urge the congregation to give until it hurts. In fact, this was his personal motto, give until it hurts. And he did just that. The problem was that his giving also hurt those around him. For you see, the more that Ceaseless Giver gave, the more unpleasant and grumpy he became. And the more determined he was that he would give even more next year. And it was as if there was some invisible force driving him to give and to give. And although it seems impossible, the more he gave to others, the smaller his love became. Ceaseless Giver was far from a cheerful giver. One other observation must be shared about Ceaseless Giver. While he could and would give to any cause that caught his attention, he seemed quite unwilling and unable to give to himself. And even more striking, he was unwilling to be given anything by anyone else. It wasn't that he had no needs. It seemed that he had the inability to receive. It's sad when a person goes through life unwilling to give. But it's equally sad when a person goes through their whole life unable to receive. And I can't be sure of it, but I've wondered if this inability to receive was not the cause of Ceaseless Giver's distrust and disdain for his neighbor, have been given. You see, have been given had no problem receiving gifts. In fact, he enjoyed receiving gifts. He was a very recent widower. And so people in the church and people in the neighborhood would bring him casseroles and cakes right to his doorstep. And whenever the gifts came to his door, he greeted them with joyful thanks. And that meant a lot to the givers. Have been given had an uncanny way of making everyone who helped him feel good about their help. And those who knew him best described have been given with two words. He was joyful and he was thankful. And all of the causes to which Ceaseless Giver gave, let me tell you that have been given was not one of them. In fact, when his wife suggested that they invite their widowed neighbor over for a meal, it was Ceaseless Giver who vetoed the idea for this reason. Anyone who would so gladly and continually receive the gifts of others must be lazy, must be weak, and must be a freeloader. Hasn't have been given ever read in the Bible that it is more blessed to give than receive? And as I pointed out, the spelling of their names, giver and given, were quite similar. And because of this, they appeared next to each other in the church directory. Well, Thanksgiving was approaching, and there was a new deacon in the church who was assigned to deliver a fruit basket to Mr. Have Been Given in consolation for his wife's passing. And in looking up the address in the directory, this deacon mistakenly copied down Mr. Ceaseless Giver's address and then took Mr. Giver, the gift that Mr. Given was supposed to receive. Well, by the way that Ceaseless Giver chewed out the pastor the next day, you would have thought that that deacon had committed an unpardonable sin. Mr. Giver stormed into the office of Reverend Feet, shouting that he had never been so insulted in all of his life. How could anyone mistake me for that freeloading Haverford Benjamin Given? He said. Well, I bet he doesn't even pledge to this church. And if he does, I bet it isn't much. And when he puts his hands out to others, his hands are empty. And when I extend my hand to others, Pastor Feet, they're always filled with something to give them. And although he didn't share this information, Reverend Feet knew that Have Been Given was one of the biggest contributors to the church, and that Ceaseless Giver was not, quantitatively. Ceaseless Giver continued on his tirade, "This church, Pastor Feet, would be much more Christian if you would preach more sermons on Acts 20:31. And in case you don't know the verse, I'll quote it to you. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." And I read that verse every morning, he said, and then he added his interpretation, which is that it means that in his church, we need to give until it hurts. And then he turned to leave. And as he was leaving, he stopped and he said another thing, "Pastor Feet, this church would be a lot more Christian if we spent less time praising and thanking God for things on Sundays in our prayers, and we concentrated more on the needs of the world around us. In fact, if we were truly people living under the cross, we wouldn't even worship this coming Thanksgiving Sunday. No. Instead, we would use that time to engage this community in a service project." And with that, Ceaseless Giver walked out of the pastor's office angrily. Now, Pastor Feet sat alone in his office and he looked down at a paper which contained the thoughts that he had begun to scribble earlier in the week as he prepared for Sunday's Thanksgiving service. And he reread a question that he had framed to himself in that preparation. And the question went like this: "Must one be able to give before one can receive? Or must one be able to receive before they can truly give?" This was the question he had asked himself as he began to study earlier in the week. It was the old debate all over again. Must we give to others in order to receive God's love? Or must we first receive God's love in order to be able to give to others? Further down the page, he noticed two little formulas he had composed earlier in the week. First, with grace, there can always be giving from gratitude. And without grace, there can only be giving out of guilt and duty. And wouldn't you know it, the faces of Mr. Given and Mr. Giver came to his mind as he began to study further. Have Been Given, he thought, illustrates how a person who has learned to receive is also able to give with a freeing sense of gratitude. There's a joy in his giving. Ceaseless Giver provides Ceaseless giver proves, he thought, that when one is unwilling to receive, when one is unable to receive, that they are able to give only out of a sense of guilt or duty. And there is no joy. There's no thanks in that sort of giving. And so these two, he thought, would make a great story, thought Reverend Feet. But he didn't think the pulpit was the place to tell stories. And so he went back to writing his sermon. And Reverend Feet knew that in time, ceaseless giver's anger over the fruit basket would subside. But he had no idea how he would help him discover that there can be a joy in giving which comes from realizing that one has been given to. Our giving must arise from our gratitude. For the grace that we have received is the grace that we offer to others. And he thought about that verse. It is more blessed to give than receive. That's true, he thought. But he also thought that in this self-sufficient culture that we live in this pull-up-yourself-by-your-own-bootstraps world that we live in, it's so much easier to give than receive. It's so much easier to give to others than to receive from them. It's much easier to give to God than to receive from Him. This was his line of thinking. Well, Thanksgiving Sunday arrived, and Reverend Feet was a little bit anxious about his sermon on the gratitude handicap, especially given the incident that he had just had with Mr. Giver earlier in the week. Have Been Given was in church that morning with a smile on his face, giving and receiving hugs and handshakes of welcome. And Ceaseless Giver was also present, even though he objected to the special emphasis on giving thanks. And as the congregation sang the opening hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God," it was Ceaseless Giver who stood there with the hymnal in front of him, silently looking at the words, as if those expressions of thanksgiving were in the language of a foreign culture. And when the time came for the sermon, he casually glanced at the sermon title, "Receiving Until It Hurts." What a contradiction, he thought. A good Christian sermon should be entitled "Giving Until It Hurts." But Reverend Feet began his message with a simple declaration. Here's the declaration. It may be more blessed to give than receive, but it's also a whole lot easier. He paused a moment, and he said it again. It may be more blessed to give than receive, but it's also a whole lot easier. Easier to give than receive, puzzled Ceaseless Giver. How can that possibly be? How is that possible? Easier to give than to receive? And then his mind began to work. And work. And work some more. And he thought of the people to whom he would be serving turkey dinners to at the rescue mission later that week. For whom is it easier? He wondered. He had always assumed it would be easier to receive the meals than to give them. But having never been on the receiving end, how could he possibly know? What would it be like, he asked himself, to have no resources except for the mercy and charity of other people? And he looked around at the people in the church, and he saw Mr. Have Been Given right across the aisle. And he thought of all of the meals that were brought to Have Been Given and how he gladly received them. And then he thought, to whom is it easier? To receive a meal was yet another reminder of his widowed loneliness and his loss. Perhaps, he thought, it might be a little bit easier to give or to receive in some cases, he thought. He started to make exception in his thinking. But then he quickly reminded himself, but what about Jesus' words? It is more blessed to give than to receive. What about those words? And his eyes focused upon the cross. And that was ultimately the symbol of his giving, that object which expressed his motto, give until it hurts, was most embodied in the cross. And so he thought about that. And that sermon title flashed in his mind yet again, receiving until it hurts. For whom is the cross easier? He wondered. He had always concluded that it was easier to receive God's love than to give God's love. But then he realized that receiving is an expression of admitted need. That receiving is an expression of accepted dependency. That to receive is to admit that I am in need. That I don't have it all together. And is it possible to be so brash as to think that one doesn't need God's love, doesn't depend upon divine grace? And so he was the answer to his own question, and he knew it. The light came on in his mind, right there in that service. And his thoughts were interrupted by the invitation to pray at the end of the sermon. The sermon was now over. And he thought, boy, this must have been one of Reverend Feet's rare short sermons, he muttered under his breath. But as soon as the minister ended his prayer, ceaseless giver, in an unpredictable moment of impulsive exuberance, stood to his feet and said, "Excuse me, Pastor. Since it's Sunday before Thanksgiving, I wonder if we could sing again, 'Now Thank We All Our God.'" And the congregation nodded in shocked surprise and approval. And as the music started, Mr. Ceaseless Giver looked around the congregation yet again, and his glance fell to his neighbor, Mr. Have Been Given, standing just across the aisle from him. And each smile met the other, and each began to move toward the other. But then, against all natural inclination, Mr. Ceaseless Giver stood upright and stopped and stayed put in his pew. And he allowed Mr. Have Been Given to walk clear across the aisle and approach him. And Have Been Given put his arms around Giver, and you could barely see, but Brother Giver had a tear dripping from the corner of his eye in that moment. And he accepted the hug, this gift. And it was one of the hardest things that Ceaseless Giver had ever done. And yet he stood still. He stood still and he received that hug until it hurt. Until it hurt. And with tears now filling his eyes, he joined Have Been Given in singing, "Now Thank We All Our God." Let us keep that story in our hearts as we now stand and sing it together this morning.